I just love the whole idea of the little drummer boy. Mary finally gets Jesus down to sleep and all the confusion of everything else going on that night. And then she comes up to a young boy who wants to do a drum solo for her. I'm not sure how that would have worked out myself, but, you know, perhaps Mary was gracious. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to celebrate and celebrate the birth of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. We pray that as we look at the story, as we look at the celebration, God, that we would be actively participating in that celebration that continues today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Merry Pagan Holiday to you. Well, you do know that that's where the origin came from, right? The celebration of the pagan festival of lights and all. And in fact, someone decided to put up a billboard and look at what it says. Dear Christians, our family would like to thank you for continuing all our holiday traditions. Our Xmas trees, wreaths, Easter bunnies, and eggs still honor us, your pagan gods, Baal, Ishtar, and Tammuz. And so that's a lot of the places that we get some of the traditions that we hold on today. You know, the tree, the wreaths, the whole idea of lights and candles and all the different stuff with it and all. Some refuse Christmas altogether because of those origins, because of what happened back then, because of these things that still remind people of those things back then. But is that what we're doing? Is that who we are? Is that what we're about? You know, there's some confusion with the whole thing. Kind of mass confusion. Christmas confusion. And we look at this and we really need to ask ourselves about this, because I've been talking to a couple of people since I decided to do this kind of message, and they've been, well, but it's pagan, it has all this bad stuff with it and all. And my whole idea is, well, how much of that is really what we're doing, and how much of it is something that has been changed for the story of Christ? Well, let's ask ourselves, what is the chance that Jesus was born on December 25th? Well, some will say one out of 365, but it isn't really. It's 50-50. Either he did or he didn't. Yeah, really, that's where it comes down to. But the real question is, what does it matter? Does it matter if Jesus was born on the 25th for us to celebrate his birth on the 25th? I don't think it really makes that much of a difference. And people go into great lengths to show the star appeared on the 25th of December. Well, 50-50 chance. Either it did or it didn't. But again, what difference does it make? When we look at this celebration that the early Christians did, or the Christians during this time did, how much of it was like, well, because this is exactly the time of it, and how much of it was because of other reasons? The other thing to look at with this is, I've been to Israel in December, and it isn't really the season where shepherds hang out with their flock at night. It's kind of cold there. And when you think about Caesar Augustus and him giving this decree for the census, would he have done it during the coldest time of the year? Probably not, although, you know, with him, you could never tell. But when we look at the history of what the Christians were doing, it revolves around the believers being heartbroken because of this pagan holiday, big pagan holiday, big thing where they did, they worshiped the trees, and they gathered around them, and they chanted, and some of them danced naked. They did all these weird things with it that we don't do. But the Christians were heartbroken at the lostness of these pagans. And they decided, let's take the opportunity of this celebration and change it. Let's redeem the day and say, no, it's not about the celebration of these gods and these things, but let's make a celebration about Jesus instead. The popular pagan celebration was really a mockery of the true light of the world, since it was a festival of lights. And so the Christians decided to redeem it by having a celebration of their own, a mass, a time to gather together for worship and the worship of Jesus. And it was a little bit of defiance and a challenge to emphasize to the rest of the world, no, this isn't what you should be celebrating. This is the true celebration. This is something that you should be taking part of because it is a worthy celebration instead. It's kind of like, well, you guys are celebrating this? No. Here is something that is worthy of celebrating. And so they decided that they would emphasize the birth of Jesus. Not necessarily because it was during that time, but it was something that was a distinct event. They already have the resurrection. They already have what we call Easter, and it's the day or the Sunday after the Passover. And it still is for Orthodox. I'm not sure exactly why we changed, but it should be the resurrection day, which is the Sunday following the Passover. And so the other thing that they had to celebrate, make known, is the birth of Jesus. So let's celebrate this. And so did the Christians back then just take all the trappings, all the things that all the pagans were doing and say, hey, this is for Jesus. We're going to do all these same different things, only do them for Jesus. No, that wouldn't have been right. That would have been kind of like, remember our study of Kings, when we saw Israel at part of their history where they were worshiping the right God in the wrong way. They were taking the worship of pagans and saying, oh, this is for Jehovah. And Jehovah isn't honored by that, nor would Jesus be honored by this. And yet they decided to take this day and they declared that they would worship the maker of all things, the almighty God, the one the child who is born of Mary and who is Emmanuel, God with us. And so the birth of Jesus was this event that they decided to emphasize. We're not going to worship your pagan gods, but we will show you who you're supposed to be worshiping. And to take the focus off the pagans, they brought in and introduced the birth of Christ to them. So while some say, keep the Christ in Christmas, and that's a good saying, we might also say, let's keep the Mass in Christmas as well. Let it be about gathering of believers, worshiping and coming to the one who is born King of the Jews. Let's be mindful of the worship of Jesus during this season. And I fear that there are a lot of Christians that forget to worship Jesus during this time. Let it be God's people declaring to one another and to the entire world, behold, Emmanuel, God in human form, is born to us. He is born.
He is born.
See, you know it for Easter, right? He is risen. See, we know that this is a little less popular or known, familiar and stuff, but it's the same kind of concept with that. And so whether we have trees and we decorate them or whether we have candles or gifts or some of the other things that the pagans used to use in ancient days for their worship and stuff, can we celebrate by worshiping Jesus during this time of the year? And the answer, I believe, is absolutely yes. Now, a few years ago, Christmas Day was on a Sunday morning. And there was a big debate back then, well, should people cancel church in order to, you know, stay at home with their families and thus celebrate the true meaning of Christmas? But family is not the true meaning of Christmas. Friendship is not the true meaning of Christmas. Love between mankind is not the true meaning of Christmas. The spirit of giving is not the true meaning of Christmas. Christ is the true meaning of Christmas. And so we held a Christmas service on Christmas Day. I grew up Catholic, and we always went to Mass on Christmas Day. But it just makes sense. Let us focus this time, this day, on what it really means, and keep the Mass in Christmas. Let us, during this time especially, with all the stuff going on, focus on the fact that Jesus is born, that we have a Savior, that we have Emmanuel, God with us. During this time of year, he was born. Well, during this celebration, we celebrate that. And just as those Christians long ago stood against the false love against the false joy, against the false peace of the pagan religions and stuff. Maybe we do the same thing today against the commercialism and the other things that Christmas is becoming. See, any love that is less than God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten son is insufficient and shallow. It's not worthy of our worship. Any peace that is not focused on God and man being at peace with one another because the Prince of Peace has come pales in comparison to what we have in Christ. And any joy that falls short of the joy that we have in knowing that Jesus came to redeem us is inadequate. And so we have this in Christmas. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't treasure your friends and your family and things. It's what Christmas has become for a lot of people, though. And I'm just saying that those things are secondary to what Christmas should be. Making sure that first and foremost, it's about Jesus in our life. And boy, I tell you what, we get so stressed out and we get so busy and we get so involved with other things that sometimes we forget all about Jesus, don't we? There are just so many other things that need to be done. But what we really need to do is be mindful of Jesus and worship him. And so we, the followers of Christ, have this season also to show the people who are in the world today trying to celebrate a Christmas they don't really understand, but we can show them just how shallow commercialism is and how meaningful it is to know the Prince of Peace, to know the God who came to us. His birth is the birth of hope for us. And there are a lot of people in the world nowadays that need that hope. This year, doesn't that hope need to have an eternal perspective? We look around and we go, oh yeah, 2021 isn't necessarily going to be any better than 2020 was. Oh, but there's a vaccine. Oh, but there's a new strain. And we don't know what's going on with any of that. But we do know that Jesus Christ was born. We do know that Emmanuel, God with us, is with us today. So especially this year, where travel, where family is either discouraged or forbidden, the true sense of Christmas may be just what some people have need of. And we're the ones that can give it to them. We can go to those people who are wringing their hands instead of ringing their bells and tell them, look, it's about Jesus. It's about knowing the eternal perspective of Jesus being born to us and us having a Savior. That's the true sense of Christmas. And that's what people have need of. And perhaps it's not that bad of a thing. Perhaps the church now can show these people who are lacking their traditions of Christmas and show them the hope of the gospel of Christmas. Look at the hope brought forth in the Christmas carols. Not just what you hear in the stores and stuff, but in the Christmas carols. Because we have songs like, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Look at the hope that we have in there, and that hope has already come, and they need to receive him. So we have hope there. Joy to the world. Well, why joy? Because the Lord has come. That's the reason for it. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. That's awesome in the grocery store. You can play it in the mall. But isn't it insufficient for what Christmas really is about? It's a nice sentiment, and I don't have any problem with it. I like the song. Unless we forget that Jesus left his heavenly home, his rightful throne in majesty, and the worship of the heavenly host, in order to make himself vulnerable in human flesh for us. This is the story that we need to pass on to all generations. This is the tradition that cannot be lost. An angel coming to a young teenage girl, a virgin girl, and saying what it says in Luke chapter 1. Let's read it, starting in the end of verse 30. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. In a time of great darkness comes the light of the world. And in humility he came, and in great power he will be declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection. So where joy was stifled because of oppression, now comes joy to the world. Not because of the worthiness of mankind, but solely upon God's love for us. And even God's vessels that he used at this time were humble and weak. You remember when Elizabeth came to Mary, found out she was pregnant, she greeted her how? Hail Mary, full of merit and greatness. Oh, wait a minute. No, full of grace, not sinless, not born of a virgin, not a lot of the things that is spoken of Mary today, but an awesome lady nonetheless, wasn't she? To be used as a vessel of the living God. So even in her weakness, even in her doubts, even in her need for grace, God used that weakness for his greatness. So the love that God has for mankind, we look at that and we see it's that he sent his son. The joy that comes to fruition from that, and the peace that comes from this mission that Jesus accomplishes by coming to the world for us. And the story that I love so much from Luke chapter 2. Let's read a little bit of that. Starting in verse 8, it says, "In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And so the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased.'" In our study through the epistles that we've been doing recently, we've looked and we've seen that we are created for God's good pleasure. And mankind indeed pleases God, except that we are lost. And we're broken in fellowship from him because of our sin. Mankind is combative, and he's at conflict, at war with God. And that's why he sent the Prince of Peace to us to make that peace, because we are pleasing to God and because of his great love for us. And so he made a way for us, a way of peace. As awesome as peace is between mankind, and don't we talk about that a lot at Christmas time? Oh, if we just had peace, if we could just all get along, wouldn't that be great? It begins with the peace that we have from mankind to God. Because we have to get rid of that conflict first. We have to get rid of that war first. Because that is the real Christmas peace. That's the real message of peace that we hear here in Luke and in other places. And again, the message of the church that redefined this pagan holiday was preaching Jesus Christ and him bringing peace between God and mankind. So whereas the world only sees a babe, we see an end to sin. We see an end to suffering. We see an end to the separation that we had with God because of that sin. And is it a coincidence that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the place where all these sheep were born, were raised, were grown in order to take them to the temple in Jerusalem to be sacrificed? Is this Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, is he the last sacrifice that will ever be needed? Absolutely. So see, none of those pagan gods could save them. They were only sticks. They were only rocks. They were, you know, part of people's imaginations. But Jesus is the God that could be touched. Emmanuel, God with us, able to be touched, and he was anticipated for so very long. And do you remember the stories of Anna and Simeon upon seeing him at his dedication? Both of them, they came up and they took hold of him and they praised God for the fulfillment of what God had told them about them seeing the salvation of God in their lifetime. And though we can't touch him physically today, the same God that promised that he would be and would be touched then promises us that we will have eternity with him and we will be able to touch him at that point. And so during this hard season in our lives right now, we have a reminder of this blessed hope of a babe who is not just King of the Jews, but also Son of the Most High God in flesh, come for us. Emmanuel is still with us, and we can celebrate no matter what is going on in the world around us, can't we? We can still focus on that, whatever the circumstance in life is. And in 2 years, Hallmark is going to make a movie about this, A Very COVID Christmas. And we're 2 years, mark my words here, guys. And we're going to have this guy, this patient, or better yet, he's going to be a brother of a patient. And the only way that he can bring messages to his sister that he loves so much is through this nurse that he's met. And so as they grow through this time of being able to pass on these messages, she finds out what a wonderful man he is. And they fall in love and they get married. They live happily ever after. Oh, yeah, and it turns out he's secretly rich. Yeah. Need to do that. Maybe we can finance the church with that or something. Anyway, for the rest of us, especially those of us that don't watch Hallmark movies, we have Jesus, and he's enough, isn't he? And it seems as though for so many people, people are just going through the motions. They're just trying to survive, aren't they? They're just trying to put one foot in front of another one day at a time and make it through all the stuff that is going on. And it's so hard. We've pulled back to so many simple essentials with that. And what I'm saying is that the real Christmas is the real essential. It is so essential that we focus on who Jesus is and upon his birth and the celebration that we have of him coming in humble human baby form. Can you imagine leaving heaven and the glory of heaven and the worship of angels and stuff and being wrapped in swaddling cloths in a manger? It's just amazing that God would do this for us, and yet he did. And so we have our Christmas, our real Christmas, not Rudolph, not Santa, not the Grinch, but Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, the star, the angels, all the stories about what Christmas is. And this is the Christmas that we need more than anything else. We need to focus and know that. And I'm so thankful for those Christians back then that stole a pagan holiday so that we might be mindful of the birth of Jesus every year. Something we should be. What a joy for us. So let us be mindful every year that we celebrate the day that our Savior was born. And the worship team is going to come up and play another song or two. And during this time, really focus on the fact that Jesus is our Savior, born to us and living in us.